This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, we'll have a conversation with the author of Justice by Another Name. And Thane Maynard takes a ride through the history of the horse. Joining me first is Linda Neenan, the founder of iSpace, the STEM learning place. The nonprofit organization provides science, technology, engineering, and math programs to schools, families, and the community. iSpace served 28,000 Greater Cincinnati students last year in school, youth group, and summer camp programs as they applied STEM skills to real-life projects such as rocketry, robotics, and video game design. Linda Neenan is here to tell us about the programs iSpace offers, and the new executive director of iSpace, Sue Williams, also joins us this afternoon. You can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Sue and Linda, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks
Good
for
to
having
see
us.
Both of you.
Yes.
Linda, it's an interesting story about what prompted you to start iSpace in the first place. So yeah. I'd love it if you'd tell us that.
Sure. My parents were immigrants. They had no education, and they didn't quite know what to do with me. I wanted to go to college, and that didn't seem like anything they were able to handle. So my dad worked in the factory at General Motors. He saw on the bulletin board a scholarship application to General Motors Institute, and he brought it home, gave it to me. I took it to my counselor, and she flat out told me that I couldn't do that because I was a girl. And so GMI was, of course, an engineering school. So I became a math teacher. She let me do that. But I carried that with me all my life, saying someday I'm going to find a way to knock down barriers that people set up for kids who want to aspire to greater things.
Wow. What a way to start. How do you describe the mission and the goals of iSpace?
Yeah, our mission really is to work with kids and get them interested in STEM careers. So, but doing that in a way where they're experiencing the actual work that people would do in those careers. So they're not programs where it's somebody's teaching them. They're programs where they're doing things and they're actually performing work that would be done by somebody in a STEM professional.
Sue, how many what age groups are you working with here?
We start with kindergarten all the way up through 12th grade.
Kindergarten.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point, too. The earlier you start on something like this, the better, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And in particular, Linda has a comment about when you can make or break an engineer in fifth grade. So we really feel like we need to get to these kids early so that they take the right courses and they start to believe that they can do these activities. You know, we put them in challenging problems, help them solve them, and by that builds their confidence, to go on to study this more.
Linda, that's an interesting idea that you can make or break an engineer in the fifth grade.
Absolutely, especially with girls. We found that girls are, if they're turned on to STEM when they're 10, 11 years old, there's a real possibility they may choose to pursue that as a career. But if they feel it's not cool and they can't do it, it's almost impossible to turn that around later.
You know, it seems like you were ahead of the curve on STEM as well. 16 years ago, that's a—
It was called SMET back then.
Seriously?
Yeah, science, math, engineering. It's an ugly name.
It didn't flow very well, did it, Sue? I mean, it seems like STEM's
no,
a much
really.
Better name.
Yeah.
How many school districts are you working with at this point?
Oh, I'm going to kick that over to Linda.
Yeah. I don't know districts. We know it's over 500 schools. So,
And we work through schools in all local counties. So we serve Indiana as well as Kentucky and Ohio.
Oh, so you're all over the tri-state
16,
area.
There are 16 counties where we have delivered our programs.
And you worked with 28,000 students last year, and that's not counting the adults, is it?
No. We worked with about 8,000 adults as well, robotics coaches and mentors. We do a lot of really good professional development for teachers. You have to consider a lot of elementary teachers haven't had much in the way of science education, and they do a stellar job with biological sciences, but when they have to teach the physical sciences, not a lot of them are very well equipped to do that. So we provide a lot of really excellent professional development for educators in the physical sciences, and they're very well received.
How much has iSpace grown since its early days?
Okay, well, the very first year we were in existence, we served 139 students. So, and this year it was over 28,000, so
a little bit of growth there.
Yes.
Quite a bit of growth. Where did you start this out of? Was this in your home?
In my house. Yes, it was in my house. And we were just doing outreach then, although I do want to give a shout out to Great Oaks because from the very get-go, Great Oaks offered a space to hold robotics competitions and summer camps. And in 2009, they offered us a permanent facility or a permanent home on their campus. We have since moved, still on the campus, though, and we certainly value our partnership with Great Oaks.
Are you surprised by how much this has grown, Linda?
Oh, I pinch myself every day.
But when you see the value of the programs and the way the kids experience them, it's not really a surprise. You know, kids come to our sessions and they just walk out blown away. They have such a good time. We got a thank you note from a little girl in second grade last week that said this was the best day of her life. And she was going to become a scientist after this day.
So you find yourself changing a lot of attitudes, Sue, where maybe a student comes in and says, "Oh, math, science, that's all boring stuff."
That's it exactly. I feel like some of the teaching, it's a lot of kids being talked at, where when they come to our place, they really are doing things. So they're building and programming robots. They're building simple machines, not sitting and watching somebody else do it. So the fact that they do it themselves really solidifies the learning, and it makes those abstract concepts more real and understandable.
And you do projects involving video game design, which is a growing field, isn't it?
It is. And one of our summer camps this year is a video game design. I think we've offered that several years. Yeah. And across a couple of age ranges. But, yeah, they actually get to make their own video game while they're in the camp for the week. And we were just talking in the lobby. There's a lot of applications beyond video games these days for that kind of technology. A lot of 3D virtual realities that companies use, not just for gaming but for designing of equipment and other things. Because being in the virtual world, you can experience what something's going to be like before you build it. So it's a lot cheaper way to fail is to learn in the virtual world.
Yeah. How did you get involved with iSpace, Sue?
Yeah, so that's an interesting story. About 5 years ago, I was getting to the point where in my corporate career, I was thinking about retirement, and I wanted to—
You're an engineer by profession?
I'm an engineer, by profession. I did that for 30 years, and I started thinking about what I wanted to do next, and nonprofit giving back was really something that excited me. In my last job, the company was very supportive of senior leadership participating with nonprofits and actually allowed me and encouraged me to go to a program called BOLD, which is put on by United Way. It stands for Board Orientation and Leadership Development, and it basically trains you to be on a board. And as part of that, they do a bit of a speed dating session at the end where they introduce you to nonprofits that are looking for board members. Linda came and gave her talk, and the minute she started talking, I was like, that sounds amazing. And then afterwards, in an informal setting, she told me her story about her high school experience, and I thought, that's I want to be involved with her.
Yeah, you were the wrong person to say that's not a position for girls, right?
Women,
yeah. That's funny. You were an engineer for P&G, which that's not typically, I guess, a lot of companies use engineers that you wouldn't expect.
You know, it's interesting you say that because that's what I thought when I was graduating college. P&G came on campus and they were doing interviews. And of course, since I was from Cincinnati, I knew P&G and I thought, well, I'll go and see what they do. But I couldn't imagine what they do with engineers. But actually, engineering is involved in many things. And at P&G, they've invented a lot of the products that they sell. I worked in diapers in particular. Not worked in diapers, but worked on diapers. But the equipment that makes diapers are very complex. And so it was an army of engineers that created those pieces of equipment. So, yeah, even though Procter & Gamble is a consumer products company, you got to make the product somehow. And that's what we as engineers were responsible for doing.
Linda, what makes Sue the ideal person to be your successor?
Well, first of all, she joined our board. And right at the first meeting, she just – stepped up to the plate and start taking on responsibilities. And you have to understand, she was already in a job, and you know, I was thrilled that she was on the board. But then one day, when we were already in the process of conducting a search for my successor, because I'm older than dirt, I wanted to retire. I'm tired, and we were in the process of doing a search. And Sue came into a board meeting one day, and she announced that she had retired. And I said, "You want a job?" And the next day, she called and said, "Were you serious?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Throw your hat in the ring," and she did. And she was one of at least 100 people that the recruiter talked to, and she came out on top. I couldn't be happier, because this is my baby. I mean, mm-hmm. I have invested so much of myself into iSpace, and I wasn't willing to just turn it over to anyone, and I couldn't be happier with having Sue in that taken over for me.
And Sue, how does it feel to be doing this?
It feels great. I'm excited about the role. It's a little intimidating taking over for Linda. She knows so much about iSpace, and the programs are just exceptional. With it not being my background, education, I'm reliant on the staff that we have, but the programs are just amazing. And the thought process that went into creating something where kids not only learn, but learn in a fun and innovative way is just, I'm glad to be part of it. And I'm glad Linda worked out that part, because, you know, I can just start with that as a base and grow from there.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Sue's got wonderful process skills. She's been in the job, what, 2 weeks?
That's too little. I think two, three and a half or something.
Okay. But anyway, I mean, I walk in now and it's intimidating, because everything is so much more organized than when I was there. So it's a perfect balance, I think.
But leaving an important program like this, it has to make you feel really good that the person you're leaving in charge is going to take good care of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we have a wonderful staff. Our teaching staff is top notch. And they're just a lot of fun to be with, too. So,
yeah.
How does this complement what the kids are getting in the classroom?
Well, all of our programs are aligned to state and national standards in science and math. And so when the students come to us, this is an extension of their classroom. The National Science Teachers Association emphasizes the importance of getting kids out of the classroom and into in an experiential setting. And we do that, and I think we do it very well.
Yeah. We will continue our conversation about iSpace and the programs that it offers. You can join us, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us for a look at the STEM programs iSpace offers are founder and board member Linda Neenan and the new executive director of iSpace, Sue Williams. And you can join the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Linda and Sue, talk about what's the importance of a STEM education? What makes it so crucial today?
Well, just if you look at the number of jobs that are available in the STEM field, within the next 10 years, 80% of all the jobs that are available are going to rely on STEM skills. Right now, there's, especially like in manufacturing and IT, there's engineering, there's just a tremendous void, and kids aren't pursuing those areas in secondary or, you know, in once they get to college and so forth. So what we're trying to do is start kids really early and get them interested so that they'll want to pursue those careers. And we're seeing wonderful results. We had a reunion last summer of some of the kids that were at our very first camp in 2004 and on our very first robotics team, and they're engineers now.
Wow.
It's just so much fun to see the wonderful work they're doing. And so many of them credited iSpace with helping them get that start.
So, yeah, so you've gotten a lot of satisfaction out of this.
Yeah, love it.
And I think to your point earlier about, you know, math and science is considered kind of boring in the lower grades. So showing them how you can apply the concept. So, you know, the concept may seem boring, but when you can see in the real world how a lever works, how a pulley works, you start to see what you can do with it, I think it makes the careers a little bit more real and interesting to the kids.
You ever have the former students come back and mentor and help with
the... Mm-hmm. Well, tell them about Ashlyn.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ashlyn's our newest instructor. We just hired her a couple months ago. She actually participated in our program. She'd been a summer camp volunteer, and she was going through the education program at Miami University. She actually changed her focus. She was going to do older kids, and she changed her focus to younger students, to elementary school, because of the – math and science, because of our programs and seeing how – much the kids got excited about it. So now she's a full-time educator for us, and she's excellent.
Oh,
she's a great
wonderful
teacher, and the kids just love her. So, yeah, kind of went full circle from being a volunteer to being a full-time employee.
Tell us a little more. You mentioned the summer camps that you have. Well, yep. What are those like?
Yeah, so our summer camps, we run 9 weeks in the summer. They're for kids from kindergarten through 12th grade, and week-long offer all kinds of topics. So everything from building and programming robots. We have classes where they'll design their own video game.
Amusement park. They design an amusement park.
My granddaughter's going to that one this year. there's one on JavaScript programming. So just a whole range. There's even one, science as art. So depending on what the kids are interested in, they can do a whole range of things.
And this is open to all kids.
Everybody, yeah. Okay. And the little ones there. There's one that's called Scientist, and they wear their little lab coats, and they've got their safety goggles, and they're scientists while they're with us.
They're really getting into it, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's one that I wanted you to describe to us, Linda, that just sounds fascinating. One of your programs is called, I believe it's iMission.
iMission, yes.
I would like to do this one, and I imagine you probably get that reaction from a lot of people.
We do.
Tell us
we
about
do.
That.
Well, iMission is a simulated mission to the moon. Teachers bring their classes to iSpace specifically for this. The kids have a variety of – they have to apply for jobs prior to coming, and the staff actually reads all the job all the job applications and puts the right kid in the right job. And each job then has certain responsibilities. They have to do what a real engineer would do, or a real medical person would do, or a real geologist would do if they were colonizing the moon. And they learn very quickly, and there are consequences attached to the actions they take. So it's possible.
So there's some pressure in doing this.
Oh, yeah. They might die.
Yes.
We tell them.
She was putting quotes around that.
Yes, so. yes. But we explain that this is a simulation, and that the importance of a simulation. But the kids are so into it. They are in that role. They are.
Yeah. And every period of time, there's an emergency. So if we work, those of us who work in the building have gotten used to the sirens going off when there's a mission going.
Okay.
So the sirens begin to go off. The kids are informed of what the emergency is, and then they have to work together to solve whatever the problem is.
Well, give me an example of an emergency they might run into.
So one of them is that their oxygen system has broken down, and they have to fix it. And the way that works is the kids in the room where they're trying to fix it have to be instructed by kids in another room. So via the cameras and the video screen, one group is trying to instruct the other group how to put this new oxygen system together before they run out of air. So there's
they've
a time pressure.
They've got 9 minutes.
Yeah. So there's time pressure, and they've got to put it together the correct way. And so, you know, it's working together and explaining, you know, turn that around. You got the part in backwards. But it's very interesting to watch them. But they have to, you know, it takes the whole group to succeed.
Yeah. And like I say, they have 9 minutes of oxygen. And with the little kids, that 9 minutes might last 12, you know.
You might give them a bit of a break.
Might find an emergency tank. But with the big kids, we just let them die. So.
Which, to some extent, I think they enjoy even better. They're asked to do their best acting of a death, and they all fall on the floor and
grin and
throats. Yeah. And then they get back up, and we get back to work.
Yeah, you still got to solve the problem.
That's
right.
Yeah. That's right.
You're not
you don't get
the,
out of it.
You're not getting off the hook that easy.
That's right.
513-419-7100, and Barbara in Clifton joins us. Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Hi. I wanted to know if there are wonderful programs like yours in other cities.
iSpace is a a local organization. There might be some in other cities. I'm not particularly familiar. I know Dayton does have a STEM center, and I think there's one in Columbus as well. But iSpace is unique to Cincinnati. The particular programs that we've brought together are unique to us.
Yeah. With any of the other existing STEM centers, though, do you collaborate and share information with them?
Some of them, as a matter of fact, I know one of the professional development workshops we're doing, or we just did, I can't remember, with the Dayton folks are coming down and working together with us. Yes, we're big on collaboration, that's for sure.
Let's talk to Alyssa in Walnut Hills. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, yes. My question is, as a young professional, a female scientist in the area, how could we get involved from a community aspect? Or is there a young professional section of your board where we could get involved and really give back?
Get her name and number right away.
That's right. Yes, we would love that. You know, on our board, we actually have in our bylaws membership down to high school kid level so that we can, you know, get a broader view. So we definitely are interested. The opportunities are board, but it's also partnering with us on specific projects. We work with engineers from General Electric for us, a program that we're doing with Cincinnati Public Schools, and GE volunteers actually come with us to the schools and teach part of the programs. So we are always looking for volunteers.
Yeah. And then we have robotics competitions. If you want to help just for a day, we have the robotics competitions. We need judges and referees and so forth. So there are day-long opportunities. We have something called iSpace Day, which is, I'll just quick give a plug for that. It's October 7th. It's a free family event open to anybody in the community. And there are about 40 or 50 hands-on activities for the kids, from launching rockets, driving robots, riding on a hovercraft. And we always need good volunteers for that as well. So I'd encourage you to go to our website and, there's a place that you can volunteer, and boy, we'll call you.
And Alyssa, we have a link to the iSpace website at our website, too, wvxu.org, if you want to go there to find it. How much do you ever get a student who maybe is a little bit shy, a little bit reluctant, and you just see them blossom through this program?
Yeah. One of the things that we set out core values when we first started. One of the core values was access for all. And that means that we really go out of our way to make sure we serve students of all abilities all ethnicities. We have a program with the juvenile courts where it's called Dinner and a Robot. And we bring the kids in once a week we do it four quarters a year, and it's 6 weeks at a time, and they come in, and we've seen some of those kids really blossom. These are kids with a lot of problems and a lot of baggage, and they leave there just really excited. So, we're seeing some real progress there.
Dale joins us now. Hi, Dale.
Hi there. Just wanted to ask, I know STEM's got great programs. I'm just wondering why there isn't an A for STEAM with the arts in there, because you've got science, you've got math, you've got thinking skills. Why the arts are not included?
Well, the A in STEAM talks a lot about the arts, like graphics arts, graphics design, and we incorporate all that, but we were the STEM learning place before STEAM became a word, and we do a lot with, we incorporate art into a lot of the programs that we do, but we haven't designated it as a STEAM program, even though it does include that.
So what's next for iSpace? Sue takes over.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So what's next? I think my biggest focus for the short term is going to be how can we expand even further and touch, get our messages and our programs out to more kids. We've, as Linda mentioned, we've gone from 130 kids to 30-some thousand. How do we take that even further? And there's even been discussions about do we look more broadly outside the region? This is a great program. There are a lot of STEM programs out there. What makes us unique is the experiential part and the fact that it is aligned with the state standards and national standards, and the kids are learning stuff that builds on what they're learning in the classroom. So, you know, the opportunities, there's so much opportunity ahead of us to get our programs out to more kids, serve more schools, and then more teachers and adults as well.
And Sue's got the skills and the wherewithal and the passion to help grow it. I think I've been maxed out, and I am so grateful that she's there to carry it even further.
Well, Sue and Linda, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having us, Mark.
Thank you.
iSpace founder and board member Linda Neenan and the new executive director of iSpace, Sue Williams. Coming up, we'll talk with Eldridge Haynes, the author of Justice by Another Name, who took an interesting path to becoming a writer. And we'll hear about the epic history of horses. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.